They are one of our better sponsors, so we don't mind giving them a little extra plug every now and then. It doesn't hurt anyone. Let's see, where are we at here with the show? I know we have Bob Fisher on the phone, and as I mentioned earlier, he's just returned from a fabulous trip to India, and we don't waste any time getting around to get him directly back to work. So good morning, Bob.
Good morning. I'm just sitting here having a glass of sherry.
Sherry?
So, well, I have a bit of a sore throat.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know,
so it's strictly medicinal, yeah.
But, and I must apologize to Carol because I forgot to put one photograph up on her site.
Uh-oh.
She has a photograph of Rembrandt's famous Night Watch picture in tile. Anyway, so Carol, if you're listening, I'm just in the process. Yeah, of getting that back up on the site too. But anyway, great story.
It was a great story, and,
yeah.
And Carol's great.
Yeah.
And it's right, Bob. Sometimes we don't get to cover some of these other wonderful areas. And the idea of walking around these towns and going to the museums and having something to eat is very appealing, certainly to me.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Roy, you want to go to North Carolina?
We're going to fly in that Wright Brothers airplane, are we?
Yeah. I'm going to embarrass you a little bit. Or, well, actually, you can sit back and blush and be a bit modest. I don't think most people don't realize where you're coming from in terms of, you know, why you're the host of this show. People don't realize that your extensive airline background, you are a pilot yourself, a retired airline executive, but a pioneer too, and that's what this article in the Outer Banks of North Carolina is all about, the Wright brothers, and not that many people know that you were a pioneer in the airline business in the United States, flying Air Cortez from California to Baja California, and flying in DC-3s, 9-passenger twin beach aircraft, and landing in these tiny little towns long before it was the resort area it is now. And I understand you even had to chase a few cows off the dirt runways when you landed.
And it goes on and on. Actually, I've had some great mentors. The Eddie Rickenbackers, the Sir Freddie Lakers, even Howard Hughes, and so I've been very fortunate. I give away my age, I guess, by talking about some of this. But the Baja was particularly interesting in that there were times where we actually had to sleep on the airplanes because there was just nowhere to go. The few hotels in Laredo were either full or. And then we used to have 55-gallon drums of fuel because and sometimes you'd go into Guaymas and the fueling station wasn't open because it was a Sunday and everybody was out celebrating and so we'd have in Mulegé especially you'd land right in front of the Serenidad Hotel and the Johnsons were wonderful people and so we'd just leave some fuel there and hand pump it in. And then we had an arrangement with it's history anyway, so it doesn't matter. We had an arrangement with the customs and immigration people who wanted us on our departure. If they weren't there, we would just slide the manifest onto the door with a couple of bucks for some beer money, and off we go. But, yes, those were great times, and there were a lot of great memories. And
well, you've entertained me lots of times, usually over a margarita, by the way. With airline stories, and I'll tell you this: the article I wrote, A Right Moment in North Carolina, and I was down there for the 100th anniversary of the Wright brothers. And first of all, I really want to.
Let me make something clear before I wasn't there.
No, you weren't.
I didn't go quite. That was one event I missed.
You came after them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But the Outer Banks of North Carolina, first of all, which is where the first powered flight, their first powered flight
right.
occurred. And if you go to the website again and look at the picture, and I've been given permission to put the original archival photograph of that 12-second flight. And what you know, when I listen to you people in the airline business talk about your stories, and I get so enthused because there's something really essential to the human imagination about flight. We know that right from the beginning of time, human beings have always wanted to fly. They wanted to do what the gods do. And you remember the mythology, the myth of Icarus, for example, and Daedalus, and everyone has wanted to escape gravity and get that different perspective, in a sense, to get high, if you like. And when I went to the Outer Banks, which is a geological eccentricity itself, it is absolutely wonderful. But you can feel the intrepid spirit and the imagination that that place engenders. Because you've got the Atlantic on one side, you've got the bay on the other side, and these are, it's basically sand dunes that are shifting. And it's a perfect area for experimenting, of course, with flight, as you well know. And they were using gliders and kites and everything. But the senses, your senses there are so fully engaged. And here I go again, you know, the metaphorical experience, the poetic experience. But it's a place where your spirit can really soar. But it's, more importantly, you know, in this very important place in the United States, this was a threshold in human history, because this is where we changed from land-bound people to, you know, we learned to fly, and we could therefore travel, and we could travel great distances and really see human habitation from everywhere. And the, you know, the photograph that you see on the site, it was an amateur photograph of the moment, and it's a still photograph, but it's almost, it really is in motion, because you can see Wilbur running alongside of the flight in solidarity with his brother, and they'd worked, a couple of bicycle repair guys, they've been working at this for years.
Amazing.
Years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the, and I think it's the timelessness of that event that really sticks out in my mind. And of course, what I it changed the course of history. It was a total conceptual shift in our world view. We could we could start to see things as, you know, in a much greater perspective. And the thing that, you know, what I think is the essential genius of the Wright brothers and other people like them, other aviators, is that what they learned through practice, but what they learned to do was to, and you'll understand this entirely, but to affect stability and control by working within an unstable environment and working with the elements. And everyone else up to then had tried to do the opposite. They'd try to control, you know, the atmosphere, the air. I don't need to tell you this. It's right. An unstable environment.
Sometimes you need to think illogically, don't you?
Exactly, and you've got to, but you've got to work with the forces of nature,
right.
And you've got to recognize that, and this is why it's so metaphoric, you've got to recognize that you are human, but that if you work with the forces of nature, and that, of course, is what they did. And
in 12 seconds of flight, it changed the world.
And so what I did, you know, and I'm not a young chicken anymore,
but
I decided that I would take a lesson in hang gliding.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And it was because I didn't know it at the time, but I knew I wanted just a very small taste of what Orville must have felt like, what he must have experienced. And so, and the Outer Banks is a great place to do this because there's huge sand dunes. And they'll take you up, and the day I did it, it was very windy. And, I mean, it was, the wind had picked up. It was gusting up to 28 miles an hour, which, if you're on a hang glider, is pretty difficult. And here I am strapped to this thing. I've got wings, Roy.
I said, I can fly, I can fly.
Well, not yet. But they're telling me, you're going to penetrate the air. And they're showing me how to shift my weight and do this and that and the other thing to penetrate that pocket. And then we start running down the dune. And then all of a sudden, there was just this exquisite moment of weightlessness and lift,
yeah,
and the forward movement. And it was like a holistic experience that I am defying the law of gravity. But it was the softest and I think the most, probably the most peaceful sensation I've ever had.
Until India, that is.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah, but it's all about, you know, travel is all about flight. Right?
Yeah, it is, and we're flying out of time here,
yeah.
Bob, I think that it's a subject that we can get into. Maybe we can even have Sir Freddie on one day and chat about all
yeah.
of this. It'd be kind of fun.
And go for an air ride somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Well, we should do
yeah.
that anyway. I'm going to get to tomorrow's guest, so I'm going
sure.
to thank you for joining us. I know you're tired, and I know you've got a lot of work to catch up on, too, or catch up with. So we'll chat with you soon, and
okay.
thanks for calling in.
Okay, have a good flight.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Bob Fisher, and he is kind of buried. He's got so much to do after getting back to India, and I know it, I really look forward to seeing his piece on India, which will be super, I'm sure. You can always check out our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. And next week we'll have travel journalist Suzanne Wright, Carol Matthews, and Brian Matthews. So tune in at 11 a.m. next Wednesday to the Travel Talk Radio Network. And this is Roy Lowy saying bye to next week. Talking Travel is brought to you by the Travel Talk Radio Network, broadcast live from Florida's Sun Coast, 24/7 online at ttrn.com. Now back to the regular program. Program and process.